Okay, so I'm afraid this presentation will be a little dry compared to David, but... if you came in paying too much attention to that title, you might be a little disappointed. But anyway, most HIV and most new infections in the U.S. now are among men who have sex with men. And heterosexual sex accounts for most new infections among women. And so, you know, that there's concern that men who have sex with men and women may serve as a bridge for the transmission of HIV from men who are exclusively MSM to women. And, these data were collected as part of the Sexual Acquisition and Transmission Cooperative Agreement Program, which was funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse. There were sites in Los Angeles, Chicago, North Carolina, and St. Petersburg, Russia. I'll give some information at the end about that. But the eligibility for SATCAP is people had to be over 18, self-report hard drug use, report male-to-male anal intercourse in the previous 6 months, or being the study partner of, or being a sex partner of a participant who was in the study. And data were, people were recruited using respondent-driven sampling, which is a chain referral approach that, where you distribute, you give people coupons to distribute, and then they, there was people come in with the coupons. And there's a lot of information about that, but I'm not gonna go into it. But, the North Carolina SATCAP site was conducted in two rural and two urban counties. We recruited almost 2,000 people, and among those there were 175 men who reported having sex with both men and women in the previous 6 months. And my definition of these bisexual men in this particular context is men who reported having sex with both men and women in the previous 6 months. Here's just where the counties are in North Carolina. If you don't know much about North Carolina, Raleigh and Durham are kind of in the center of the state. And these two rural counties were kind of adjacent to Raleigh and Durham. I'm gonna give some just comparison just to show you the differences, compare the men who only had sex with men to the men who had sex with men and women to men who had sex with only women. And then I'll give you some bivariate analysis to show the differences between men who disclosed their bisexual behavior and those who didn't, and then just some simple models. The in our sample, there were 1,044 men, and 9% reported MSM only, 74% reported only sex with women, and 17% reported sex with men and women. Now, one thing I will show you here is that it's kind of interesting. In this study, the African Americans were significantly less likely to engage in sex with men and women. And so, actually, white men were more likely to report bisexual behavior. And the bisexual men were more likely to be homeless in this study than the other men. One thing that it was maybe part of our eligibility criteria and our sampling strategy, but we got a lot of drug users. I mean, in this sample, I think that a lot of the bisexual behavior was driven by drug use, men who were trading sex with men for money or drugs. And you'll see that hard drug use was significantly higher among the bisexually active men, and that a history of injection was also higher. And here, you'll see that the bisexual men actually had more partners than the men who only had sex with women. They actually were about equally likely to engage in unprotected intercourse, and they were more likely to engage in anal intercourse with their female partners than men who only had sex with women. And you can see here over half of the men the bisexual men reported sex with, I mean, reported giving money or drugs for sex, and almost half of them reported receiving money or drugs for sex. And I haven't really looked at it to see if they were receiving money and from their male partners and giving money to their female partners or what. But anyway, now, this idea of a transmission bridge is, you know, that you go from a high prevalence population to a low prevalence population. And in this sample, it kind of fits that. You can see that HIV prevalence among the MSM was 39%, among the bisexual men was 12%, and among heterosexual women was 6%, and among men who only had sex with women was 5%. So it kind of fits that. You know, the, here, as I said, RDS is a chain referral recruitment approach, and we actually collect data linking the people who recruit each other to their recruits and the subsequent people. And you can see this red circle is a bisexual man who we started as a seed, and you can see he recruited three other men. Only one was bisexual. One was just a man who was just a man and wasn't a drug user. The rings around the things mean that they're drug users. You can see that one of the bisexual men he recruited two women, one heterosexual man and one bisexual man. And so you can see this, it gives you some idea of where these people are in these chains, kind of. Let me see. I was gonna go back, but anyway, this, okay. Yes, thank okay. you. And so as part of this, Seth Gibbs' site did some site-specific things, and we actually did a network study and recruited a lot of people, 500 and something. And just to give you a sense of, again, the diamonds are the bisexual men. And you'll see this guy up there, and you can see he was recruited by a heterosexual man as a drug partner, and then he had sex partners who were both male and female. And so it gives you a sense of, you know, that somebody could serve as a bridge, kind of. We don't know. I mean, I didn't get into whether they were having unprotected sex with their male partners and their female partners and their HIV status and everything. Now, just getting brief into disclosure stuff.
You're fine.
Okay. That one thing I would really point out here is that only 6% of the men who were HIV positive didn't disclose. They were actually, men who were HIV positive were significantly more likely, over three times as likely, to disclose their bisexual behavior to their female partners than men who, you know. And so I think that, I think that's good. Now, as far as sexual identity and disclosure, you can see that that men who were identified as heterosexual were the least likely to disclose. The men who identified as down low, and there were like other kind of same gender loving, just messing around with the other team, a whole mix of identities that I've tossed in there because it's too many things to put out there. The gay men, the bisexual men, were more likely to disclose. I mean, were less likely not to disclose. Here, this is an interesting thing, I think, here that you can see that non-disclosure increases with age, kind of. And I think that maybe there's some, maybe the mores in this country are changing. I mean, you know, that if you think about young people, they don't think it's, maybe don't interpret sexual identity and sexual behavior and stuff the same way that old people like me do, you know. And so, so that's interesting to me. I thought, I was really surprised. It was almost looked like a linear relationship. Now here's it's just a logistic regression model kind of that adjusts for the fact that some people were reported on more than one partnership. In fact, I'm not, you know, African American men were more likely not to disclose. Older men were more likely not to disclose. And partnerships in which the female partner didn't use drugs, people were more likely not to disclose. And but if men were HIV positive, they were significantly more likely to disclose in the model. So it's a mixed bag of stuff. It doesn't, strike me as people who are just out there really intentionally trying to infect other people, or just being reckless kind of, but, you know. I would say the number of men who reported on multiple partnerships is pretty small. I didn't link these particular ones up with the women to see what the women reported. These are based on what the men reported on their relationships with the women. The eligibility criteria in our recruitment approach may have overestimated the number of bisexual men in this group. And one thing that, you know, you saw a lot of homeless men, a lot of drug users and stuff, and so not just in this study or not just with bisexuality, but we got a lot of homeless people, or, you know, and that, say, if I'm a married man who's a vice president of a corporation and I have having sex with men on the side, I'm probably not going to come into a research study and say, hey, you know, I do all this stuff. You know, and that if I've got stuff, something that I really may lose if I come and disclose to you, I'm probably not going to do it for $40. You know what I mean?
We actually did get one bank president in our study. It's paid
$50. Yeah, yeah.
But this is Indianapolis. Yeah.
No. We had one guy in, when we were doing formative work and it was anonymous and stuff. We did have a guy who was a vice president of some big company in art and research, Triangle Park. But when we started wanting identifying information and stuff, it didn't happen, you know. And I mean, we tried to get like middle class gay men and stuff, and we tried like letting people send out coupons by email and stuff. But it still went back right down to these kind of street people. But the other, you know, and of course, there's, you know, this is based on self reports and stuff. So, you know, that I know that. One of the things I would take away from this was that HIV-positive men were significantly more likely to disclose their bisexual behavior, that disclosure of MSM behavior decreased with increasing age. Non-Hispanic white men were significantly more likely than African-American men to report bisexual behavior, but African-American men were least likely to disclose their bisexual behavior, and that the men who they were less likely to disclose to non-drug using female partners, and maybe they were I don't know. I mean, one thing that kind of surprised me about this and all of the SATCAP sites in the US, we all got more bisexual men than we were expecting. We weren't really expecting to get a lot of men who engaged in bisexual behavior because we were recruiting drug users and men who had sex with men. And so again, I don't know exactly what drove that, if it was our eligibility criterion or recruitment strategy, but it gives me the sense that this is a phenomenon that's pretty widespread. Okay? We just don't know how big it is or how, you know, and I have no idea what contributions they make to the spread of HIV from MSM to women and to the general community kind of. And these are, the study was funded by the National Institute on Drug Abuse, and these are the other SATCAP sites and the principal investigators, and I don't have any financial relationships to disclose where, so thank you.
Thank you for that interesting presentation.